Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Friday, April the 11th. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
The elections belong to the voters of Wisconsin, not to the outside groups that are trying to buy seats on the court.
That was Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Lewis Butler following his loss last week to Judge Michael Gableman in a race that saw record spending by outside groups trying to influence the race. We asked in our latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll if you wanted to see any changes in the way we select Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin. And we welcome your answer to that question right now at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. In just a bit, we will welcome in the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Mike McCabe, about what sorts of changes government watchdog groups would like to see occur, especially in light of what many are calling the nastiest race for state Supreme Court justice ever. And now we will welcome in our analyst for the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, Wendy Scattergood. She's an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we do want to see some changes when it comes to how we select Supreme Court justices.
That's correct. Only 18% said that we should keep things the same as they have been. So everybody else wants to have changes to the system. And the most often cited was that they should be publicly funded. 30% said that they should be publicly funded, but keep elections. And very close, very similar, is that they should just be more restricted in their fundraising and spending. Only 17% said that we just should just get rid of elections and go toward a governor appointment.
Yeah, system. I'm wondering if that's not surprising to me because most people want to be able to cast their vote, right?
Right. Mm. Yeah, and most states, in fact, 39 states elect their Supreme Court judges. The only ones that don't outside of Hawaii are in the areas of the first colonies. So.
Yeah, but there is a proposed constitutional amendment that would abolish the elections and instead have this appointment process. So based on our poll results, at least that proposed constitutional amendment is going to have a hard row to hoe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about? I'm wondering, Professor Scattergood, if you think we really understand this whole situation enough. I mean, a lot of the ads that we saw for the state Supreme Court race in recent weeks or months, they were not by the campaigns themselves. That wasn't their campaign spending. That was campaign spending by outside groups.
Right. And that's why we asked that second question, and that is, what was their view? And we asked them which one was most close to their own opinion. And the first one was interest group ads distort the race from the candidate's own ads. And the second was interest group ads give important information to voters. And very clearly from our respondents, 61% said that they feel like they distort the races. So I think to some extent they do understand that these outside groups are playing a negative role in the system. On the other hand, of course, as the framers would want to see free speech. And that would be a primary stumbling block to putting any sort of legislation to limit them, because you have to overcome the freedom of speech and putting limits on it, which you can. I mean, the judicial law with regard to that is that if there's a compelling state interest to override free speech, then you can. And so that would be the discussion that has to come up in the community, is to say, well, is it more important to have free speech for these groups, or is it more important for us not to feel like we're overwhelmed by having these, not being able to hear from the judges themselves?
Yeah. I'm wondering, before we welcome in our next guest, who's going to advocate for various reforms, especially, I'm sure, the campaign finance reforms, what you see our state legislature doing with this and sort of the outcry that's occurred since this election?
I think it's a very difficult issue because, as I said, you've got these constitutional issues of free speech going. First of all, they also, of course, are subject to having to raise money from interest groups themselves, which I think puts a little mm-hmm. bit of a hindrance on them passing anything, although it is a little easier because it is judicial appointments rather than themselves. But still, you know, working out the details of if you're going to limit their ability to raise and spend money, and particularly if you're going to limit interest groups' ability to raise and fund and spend, working out the details of that is going to be very, very difficult, very complex. And then it will certainly come up for, you know, review from the courts because of mm-hmm. looking at that issue of whether it's constitutional or not.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. And Professor Scattergood, thanks very much for being with us and for all of your work on the Wisconsin survey. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wendy Scattergood is an assistant professor of political science for St. Norbert College. She's an analyst for the St. Norbert College Survey Center and for our poll that we do every spring and every fall with St. Norbert. You can view all of the results on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. We'll welcome in two guests from different perspectives to talk with you about all the political news of the week. Ben Marins will host Your Views on the News after 4 this afternoon. You can call in with what you think is the most significant news story after 4 and, again, after 8. Right now, we're following up on the latest results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll that found that most of us want changes in the way state Supreme Court justices are elected, but we want to keep the power in the hands of the voters. Not many of us, only 17% of us, said that we think the governor should appoint justices and that Supreme Court election should be abolished. Most of us wanted to publicly finance Supreme Court elections and or somehow restrict fundraising and spending in Supreme Court races, following what many are saying was a very nasty race for state Supreme Court between the Justice Lewis Butler and his challenger Michael Gableman. Michael Gableman defeated the incumbent last week in our spring elections. We're going to talk about these results and what reforms we might see with Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what's your reaction to this statewide public opinion poll? It looks like most of us do want to see some changes when it comes to our Supreme Court elections.
Well, just about anything would be better than what we've been through these last two elections. You know, the system for electing justices is broken, and what we're left with right now, the way the system has mutated, you've got a system that casts a cloud not only over whoever ends up winning an election, but also a cloud that will hover over the entire court. These last two elections, the way they've played out, the way they've been funded, the way the advertising has looked and sounded, all has done great harm to the institution of the Supreme Court. And I suspect that's why all seven justices signed a letter some months ago saying that they want a change in the way Supreme Court justices are elected. I think they realize that what's being done in these campaigns does tremendous harm to both public respect for and even public knowledge of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. What is the harm that's being done?
Well, I think first of all, if you looked at the advertising, it virtually all focused on an issue, sex predators and sentences handed down to violent criminals, that has little or nothing to do with the actual role of the Supreme Court. So one of the things, and I think the respondents to the poll are absolutely right, these ads distort the issues and distort the election, because they focused on an issue that doesn't have much of anything to do with what the Supreme Court's job actually is. you'd have thought that we were voting for a sheriff or a district attorney or at least a trial court judge who actually presides over trials and hands down sentences, not a seat on the state's highest appeals court. So what's happened is public knowledge of the function of the Supreme Court is being badly distorted. And then when you look at who's doing all the talking, 90% of the advertising was being done by two lobbying groups and three very shadowy front groups. And the perception then is that whoever's elected belongs to those interest groups and is owned by those interest groups. And judges are supposed to be accountable to the law and the Constitution. They're not supposed to be accountable to party bosses or special interest groups. And the clear perception is being created that judges are owned by particular interest groups. That's a disaster for the court. Regardless who ends up being the winner, they're labeled as belonging to a particular set of interest groups. And that's something that has a tremendously corrosive effect on public confidence in the integrity of our court system.
Boy, we've got lots of callers on this already, but I wanted to ask you, and we'll get more into this as we go along, but even if public financing is passed for Supreme Court candidates, the special interest groups can still pile on the ads, can't they?
I actually think two things have to happen, Joy. One is that we need to publicly finance Supreme Court elections to free the candidates from the money chase and enable good judges to stand before the voters and get a message out to voters about what they plan to do as Supreme Court justices without having to compromise their independence by cozying up to partisans and special interest groups to be able to run those campaigns. So I think the first thing is we need to get the candidates back in the game. They need to be able to get a message out so that we don't simply have a special interest monologue. And they need to be able to do that in a way that doesn't compromise their independence as a judge once they're on the bench. But the second thing is that, and I take exception to this notion that we have to somehow choose between judicial integrity and free speech. I think that's a false choice. It's not necessary to tell anybody that they can't speak, but what we should say is that anybody who engages in election campaign advertising ought to play by the same rules. We ought to have a consistent set of rules about how you raise money, how you disclose what you raise, and how you go about trying to influence an election. Right now what we've got is a situation where the candidates are restricted in what they can take from individuals. They're limited in what they can take from political action committees. They can't take any money whatsoever from corporate or union treasuries, and they have to disclose everything. Mm-hmm. The interest groups don't have to play by any of those rules. They can take money from anyone, from anywhere. Doesn't have to be in Wisconsin. It can be anywhere, in any amount, and they don't have to disclose a thing. So it's not about telling anybody that they can't speak. It's about saying everybody ought to be on a level playing field and everybody ought to be playing by the same rules so that we don't have a situation where a handful of groups can do all the talking, where they can do 90% of the campaign advertising because they're playing by rules that are so ridiculously skewed in their favor. Mm. So it's about establishing a balance that gets the candidates back in the game and doesn't allow a few interest groups to hijack these campaigns.
To the phones we go. Bob and Stevens Point, hi, you're on the air.
Since the election, I feel like I have been insulted by people who want to change everything. I mean, callers tell me I am unenlightened. I didn't go to their website to get the truth. Anybody who wants to change things all the time, I have a hunch if you scratch the surface, you're going to find people who lost the last election or have a dog in a fight where they want an issue settled by a court as opposed to legislation, and I'll hang up.
Well, before you hang up, Bob, you're saying that you voted for, Mike Gabelman because you thought he was the better candidate and don't blame the system for the outcome of the election? Is that what your point is?
The truth is I stayed away from the election because there were no other elections going on. Usually that was a local election time. But the truth is I did not go and vote. I would have voted for him. See, Joy, I am not stupid. I can see through all that bowl of WEAC and Wisconsin manufacturers.
Yeah.
And I'll take it. I'll accept it. I'm not stupid.
Yeah. All right. Voters are not stupid, Mike McCabe.
Oh, I don't think voters are stupid at all. But one of the problems here is that voter turnout was 19%, and So whoever ended up being the winner was going to be elected with barely 10% support from the eligible voters in Wisconsin. And if you watched the campaign advertising, as so many people had to do because it invaded everybody's living rooms, the issues that were raised had almost nothing to do with what the Supreme Court actually does. It was sponsored almost exclusively by a few interest groups. I mean, is that what we want our elections to be, regardless of who wins? We've been advocating for this kind of reform since about 2002 or 2003, long before these last two elections. We saw some problems coming. We were seeing it in other states. We thought it was only a matter of time before this kind of special interest influence of our judicial system would eventually infect Wisconsin. We've elected justices in Wisconsin for over 150 years, but it wasn't until just very recently that we started seeing those elections become sort of mutated versions of what they used to be. They used to be relatively inexpensive and very dignified affairs. Now they're outrageously expensive, and they're absolutely trashy in terms of the tone and nature of the campaigning, and it focuses on stuff that doesn't even have to do with the Supreme Court. And I think that's because we've watched our system break down, and it's allowed a handful of very wealthy interest groups on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides are playing this game, and so my sense is that the court is harmed no matter who wins these elections, because no matter who wins is going to be labeled as a tool of one side's interest groups, and that's something that is absolutely intolerable. We deserve better than that.
Well, why not then go to an appointment confirmation process rather than an election process?
Well, I think, as I said at the very beginning, just about anything would be better than what we're seeing right now and what harm that does to our Supreme Court. But my own feeling is actually very much in line with what St. Norbert College found with public opinion statewide. I think you got to let the voters decide, because people deserve to have a say, and this is a Supreme Court that belongs to the people of Wisconsin, so it should be elected by the people of Wisconsin. And I can respect what choices voters make. I think voters deserve a better election system than we've had, but I support electing them. The idea of appointing judges, I think, it is sort of offered up as a way to get past the politics, the ugliness of the politics, but an appointed process is inherently political too. So I don't think it solves the problems people are aiming to solve, and it solves it in a way that takes away the voters' opportunity to have a say. So I don't think that's the answer either. I think we've elected justices for over a century and a half. We need to restore our elections to good working order so they serve us the way they served us for so long.
Yeah. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, reacting to our latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, finding that many of us, most of us, want to see some changes in the way we elect state Supreme Court justices. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Friday, April the 11th. We're talking about Wisconsin's Supreme Court and whether we should reform the way we elect Supreme Court justices, or whether we should just scrap the elections and appoint them instead. Talking about this in light of the latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll that found most of us think some changes are called for.
The people have a right to know exactly what's been happening and exactly what their choice is in this race. They have a choice between me, a judicial conservative, and my opponent, a judicial activist.
Well, there you go again. once again, you don't answer the question that was put to you about calling for the negative ask to be pulled aside. You instead go back to pattern lines that you have been maintaining throughout the entire campaign, and you once again issuing these ridiculous charges that are not borne by the facts and that are not supported by any evidence out there.
That was from the We the People Wisconsin debate between Justice Lewis Butler and Judge Mike Gabelman just before last week's election. Chances are that most Wisconsin residents did not watch that on Wisconsin Public Television or hear it on Wisconsin Public Radio, but did see many of the attack ads, most of them from outside interest groups for or against both of the candidates. As you know, the challenger, Judge Michael Gabelman, defeated the incumbent Lewis Butler in last week's election. So we're wondering what you think, what reforms you would like to see. Do you think a Supreme Court election should be publicly financed? Is there some way to restrict these third-party ads? Do you think that Supreme Court justices should be appointed rather than elected? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Talking with Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and our next caller is Bruce in Madison. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
First, I'd like to say that your guest should be commended for his tireless work on behalf of democracy in Wisconsin. He's been working hard, and he's been challenging the powerful and those with far more money to do what he's trying to do, and he just should be thanked by all the citizens of Wisconsin.
He thanks you.
And my point is that there is a way to improve the campaign, as the Supreme Court unanimously called for public financing. It's always been the case that time, place, and manner restrictions on free speech are recognized as constitutional. So in the public financing, you could require the manufacturers and commerce to report their spending and their spending plans, and the public financing could match or give more money to the candidates when the public interest requires that. When the manufacturers spend money against them, they should get more public financing. And then I'm sure the manufacturers would consider curtailing their spending if it was matched by public financing.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the campaigns could be returned to the control of the candidates.
Mike McCabe?
Yeah. Currently Wisconsin's policy is at least two U.S. Supreme Court rulings behind the times. We're still caught in 1976 when there was a Supreme Court ruling that said that interest groups have to use certain what have come to be called magic words like elect, vote for, vote against, defeat in their advertising in order for it to be considered a campaign advertisement. Well, there's been two Supreme Court rulings since then that have moved away from that doctrine, the so-called magic words doctrine, and yet Wisconsin's policy is trapped. It's stuck. In 1976, about 30 years behind the times. And so it is absolutely constitutional to be able to put together rules that would get these interest groups on a level playing field with candidates, not being able to dominate and hijack these elections. And it could be done using new court, the latest court rulings. So this does not have to be an assault on the First Amendment. It doesn't have to be anything that there's no action that has to be taken that is unconstitutional. And I think it's really unfortunate that so many of these interest groups that want to control the court and want to control our state government have peddled this mythology that somehow any action whatsoever that does anything to require them to disclose what they're doing and come clean with the people of Wisconsin about who they are and where they get their money is somehow unconstitutional. That's just not the case. And I think it's sad that Wisconsin has fallen so far behind the times when it comes to making sure that the integrity of our elections is protected and the voters' right to know who's influencing them has been thrown out the window.
Thank you, Bruce. Jeff and Shawno is with us now. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I might have a transitional fix. My concern basically is that when we have important elections like our Supreme Court judges and we fold them into a spring election where they're really are not the issues that are going to drive out the vote, such as a presidential election or a gubernatorial election, we really allow, I think, a fertile ground for what your guest has been describing to happen, even to a larger degree than it might happen in a presidential election. I'm okay with public funding. I certainly would never support a governor of either party appointing Supreme Court justices, except in the case of an emergency. But I think if we would tie the Supreme Court justices' election either to the gubernatorial election or to a presidential election, if for some reason they wouldn't coincide, I think we'd take great strides. I just think this election, and I'm going to be real honest, was stolen by two factors. One is very, very dishonest advertising on the part of special interest groups. And then secondly, the complacency of the Wisconsin voters for not turning out and voting. 19% to me is a disgrace for basically a state that created the primary system, fighting Bob La Follette and other good benchmarks that Wisconsinites should be proud of. I'll hang up and listen to your guest, and I also commend him for his efforts to educate us on what's happening with private funding groups. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Well, Wisconsin for a very long time has separated races for nonpartisan offices like Supreme Court from races for partisan offices like legislature or governor. We've had our nonpartisan offices elected in the spring and partisan offices in the fall. It's been a long-standing practice. Now, obviously, what's happened with the Supreme Court is that it's become very partisan, and the election process has become overtly partisan, and partisan operatives are running the campaigns, and party-connected groups are doing a lot of the campaigning. And so one of the issues that I think people need to chew on a little bit is whether perhaps we should simply cut to the chase and consider these partisan offices. Some states elect judges on a partisan basis. I don't favor that move personally, but it's worth discussing. And you know, I said earlier voters aren't stupid, but in this race voters were misled, voters were lied to, and voters' intelligence was insulted by the nature of the campaigning by both the interest groups and some of the candidate advertising. And you know, I think that's one of the reasons why only 19% participate is they don't have a habit of voting as much in these spring elections as they do in the fall. So the caller makes a really good point. If you want higher turnout in these races, one of the ways to do it would be to move these elections to the fall, as many states do with their Supreme Courts. But I think the bigger fix that's needed is to create a system where candidates actually matter, where they get to do some of the talking, where they're not pushed to the sidelines and they become bystanders the way they have in these last few races, and a system where the interest groups are put in a position where they can't keep the public in the dark about who they are, where their money comes from, and how much they're spending to influence elections.
Next we go to Susan in Hudson. Hi, Susan.
Hi. This is an opening for me to talk about and to recommend Required Reading, I believe, by Gore Vidal. In it, he subscribes to the fact that we have become weighted down, the entire population that is supposed to be the deciding point by making elections, their business of turning out for, is that they're weighted down by so much fear, and beneath the weight of so much weaponry, we have fallen and given up our Bill of Rights, and we feel like it's now not in our interest to turn out and vote. And Gore Vidal, in Imperial America, recommends that 4 weeks be limited to the time that you campaign, and the money is not necessary but should be a public service.
All right, we have a weather break coming up. I'm sorry, Susan. Limit the time that you can campaign, Mike McCabe. Is that an answer?
Well, you know, most of the world's democracies do have a more confined time frame for running elections. It's really common in Europe to have elections conducted over the course of weeks, not months or years, the way it is here. So, you know, that's one of the things to be considered. And I think that you know, there's no one single fix. A publicly financed elections, as I said, I think is only part of the answer. You've also got to do something about the fact that the interest groups aren't playing by the same rules as the candidates.
Let me hold you there for now because we have weather break time coming upon us. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, April the 11th. Coming up after 8, we'll welcome in two guests from different perspectives to talk with you about the news of the week. It's the Week in Review coming up after 8. Our next caller for Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about what reforms we'd like to see when it comes to electing our state Supreme Court justices. Mitch in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mitch.
Okay. Mike, I'd like to see two things change in it. The first one I'd like to see is I'd like to hold the people that get paid for advertising responsible for disclosure of who is doing the advertising. And then the second thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see the ballots altered and it give us a little more power as a voter. And that is that there would be a third box put in underneath the candidates that would say none of the above. And if none of the above wins, those two parties cannot run for that office for two presidential cycles. And that would give the voters the power to clean these ballots up so that they don't have to face this kind of thing that we've done in the last two Supreme Court elections. And I would get a turnout that would amaze you.
What about that, Mike McCabe?
Well, yeah, I've heard that idea before, and it's a pretty intriguing idea. Obviously, what he's talking about is applying that to partisan elections and particularly things like offices like the president and I assume the governor and state partisan offices. The concept could be applied to something like Supreme Court, but what you couldn't do is in a Supreme Court election is say that parties can't run a candidate because these candidates are not supposed to run under a party label. Now, in truth, they've become very partisan races, but they're not running under a party banner. As for his other point, all I would say is hear, because we had groups like with names like Greater Wisconsin Committee and Coalition for America's Families and Club for Growth doing huge amounts of the advertising in this race, and voters watch these ads and they got to wonder, who the heck is Coalition for America's Families? Voters deserve to know who's really behind these groups, who's supplying them with their money, and where this money is coming from, because that's going to tell voters some critically important information about who's really behind these campaigns. Right now, some phony front group with a flowery name like that can take money from anywhere, from anyone, in any amount. They can run huge amounts of advertising, drowning out anything that the candidates say. They can decide which issues are discussed. They can frame how those issues are discussed. And the voters are kept in the dark about who's really behind all this. That's just offensive, and that needs to change.
Yeah. Well, besides those third-party groups with those funny names that we don't know who's in these groups, we did hear ads from WEAC and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And while we didn't have a long list of every single person who was involved in those groups, we know those groups.
Yeah. And some of the advertising, as I said at the very outset of the conversation, was done by two lobbying groups, and you named them, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and then the State Teachers Union, Wisconsin Education Association Council. And then we had these shadowy front groups that did the rest of the advertising. The candidates did almost none of it, and that's because these interest groups are so advantaged when it comes to the rules, and that, for the life of me, makes just no sense. Why should we make candidates irrelevant in elections? And elections are supposed to be dialogues between voters and candidates. Candidates are supposed to be hearing from the voters. Voters are supposed to be hearing from the candidates, obviously, And what we had was a special interest monologue. And that's I think, sums up how our elections have broken down. Candidates and voters have become bystanders, and they ought to be central participants in an election, and we've lost that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mitch, for the call. Lenny in Madison is next. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, Joy. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, that Mike McCabe, he's a tough act to follow. I've seen him at the People's Legislature. I've been involved in that. I spoke at it once. And the reason I called is because this conversation intrigues me so much that I just wanted to say, though, that I agree with everything Mike has said, especially about the way these campaigns are conducted and the way they're financed. I'm very concerned about that. But the one thing, and Joy just mentioned it, that really disturbs me about what happened in this latest one was that WEAC and Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce were involved in that. And Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce is a state entity that represents state businesses and manufacturers and whatnot. And I just think that people in this state need to put pressure on them and need to tell them enough's enough. Because you got to remember something, voters are consumers. They buy things, and they're involved in the economy. And Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, if they're going to support this kind of thing, I think that the voters in the state and the people in the state that buy things and contribute to the economic well-being of this state should say, we're not going to support you. And I bet you any money, if we did that, a lot of this stuff would stop. Mm-hmm. But as far as everything that Mike McCabe is saying on there, it's the truth. And if the caucus scandals didn't show us something, it showed us one thing. It showed us that we need to reform the way campaigns are conducted in the state, because the very democracy that's very important to people like me is at stake.
Yeah. Well, he's a fan of yours, Mike McCabe, but similar views that you have?
Well, you know, the public has every right to contact companies that are involved in Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, let them know that they're not happy about the involvement. They have every right to contact the teachers union and let the union know that they're not happy. I'll be the last person in the state of Wisconsin who would call for a ban on their participation, though. But what I think has happened is they've perverted the notion of free speech in what they call their exercise of their free speech rights. What they've effectively done is taken away the free speech rights of everybody else, including the candidates, because they're operating under rules that enable them to do all the talking. And what that leaves is candidates and voters and other participants in the election who may have the right to speak, but who have no ability whatsoever to be heard. So I want people to also think not only about the free speech rights of groups like WMC and WEAC, but the free speech rights of everybody else in this state, including candidates for public office, who have been pushed to the sidelines because a few groups with truckloads of money are able to pay for all the campaign advertising. There needs to be a balance struck so that free speech doesn't simply belong to a few extraordinarily wealthy individuals or a few extraordinarily wealthy groups. Free speech ought to belong to everybody, and we've seen the way free speech is being treated. We've seen it fall out of balance, and so I'm not ever going to say that any group or any individual should be banned from participating. What I'm going to say, though, is that people ought to participate in a way that is respectful of and recognizes the free speech rights of everyone.
Let me get in another caller, Dan in Green Bay. Hi, Dan.
And recognizes
Dan, are you there?
Dan in Green Bay. Hi, Dan.
Hi, good morning. I came in a little late. A couple comments. One, I'm against, you know, these ads by these unknown organizations. I think that's wrong, but you know, I don't have a problem with the Wisconsin Manufacturers of the WEAC because I understand they're either liberal or conservative, but I'm a little disappointed in the rest of the media outside of Wisconsin Public Radio. I didn't see any interviews. I'm in Green Bay in the Green Bay Press Gazette, unless I missed it. of the candidates. I don't see anything on the local television station where these candidates are interviewed. I don't understand why we're letting our media, who, you know, it's my understanding, you know, it's a public service. I can put on the morning news in town here and see somebody making a souffle. You know, they got all these different things, and I think that's fine.
Yeah, we get you, Dan, and I'm sorry, just a minute to go. Mike McCabe, the media should have done more on this race, and that would have helped.
Well, I think newspapers did a better job than many other media. We certainly heard some things on radio. I think if there's blame to be laid here, it probably is local television news. We got a steady diet of ads from all these interest groups and a few from the candidates, but there were very, very few TV news stories that provided more enriching information, and that's a problem. We've talked about it before on your program,
and
Joy.
I'm sure we will talk about it again. We can't, though, this hour because we're out of time. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me again, Joy.
Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. If you'd like to see the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, they are all on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.